Welcome to Chip Health with Dr. Hans Diehl. On today's broadcast, we'll discover effective ways to be healthy by choice and not by chance. Gaining and maintaining optimum health is possible at any age. That's what thousands are learning at the Complete Health Improvement programs offered across the country and around the world. The results are proven. The benefits, priceless. I'm your Chip Health host, Charles Mills. If you'd like to experience a real shock, listener, go to your local library and browse through a couple of picture books highlighting society at the turn of the 20th century. The first thing you'll notice is that the world was in black and white then. The second thing you'll notice is how slender everyone is. Mm. You can search a crowd of people and find very few overweight or obese individuals. And this was before there were gymnasiums or wellness centers in every town. Very few people jogged. You didn't find folk counting calories or obsessing over eating that extra piece of pie for dessert. Men could actually buy a pair of pants and then wear them out instead of getting so big they don't fit anymore. Something else was missing from those pictures, things you can't see. Most of the people in those old photographs had stronger bones, less cancer, lower blood pressure, and blood cholesterol levels far below the numbers we see today. Why? Well, let's find out. Dr. Diehl, a lot of people say that many of the diseases we suffer from today are genetic, including obesity and overweight. But those pictures tend to prove that theory wrong. That's what you tell me. Why is that?
Well, that was a great description of what it was like. You know, this is almost something of bygone days, isn't
it? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and it's interesting that when sometimes people would ask a physician, tell me, what shall I do to live a long life? They sometimes sort of, with a twinkle in their eye, they said, well, you just have to pick your parents and grandparents correctly.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, that was sort of a cute answer. But, you know, it really misses the point as we now understand the role that genetics plays. You know, there are some genetic diseases that are strictly genetically related, but there are also many, many diseases that we blame on, well, my grandparents had those, my parents had those, there's nothing I can do, it's genetically coded, it's inherited, there's nothing I can do. Wrong. The latest information is that much of what we consider to be a genetically designed or determined disease is actually something that has to do with our lifestyle, because we're not only sharing the genetics in a family, for instance, but we also share a common lifestyle, particularly our eating patterns, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I love the story you've told me in the past. I always chuckle at it, where you say people will come and say, well, you know, it's my family. Look at my grandfather was fat. My father was fat. I'm fat. And even the dog is fat.
Well, you know, that cannot be a genetic thing with the dog.
No, it can't.
But, you know, the other thing is, Charles, we are now understanding that it takes about 200 to 300 to 400 years to change the genetics in a whole society, in a nation.
Yes.
But you see, we have seen a dramatic increase in obesity since 1975.
Yes,
this is only 25, 35 years.
That's right.
This is not so much genetics. And if there is a genetic predisposition, then it needs to be activated by a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, the latest findings that we have today. We find out now that there is something called epigenetics. And epi sort of means above, over, on top. And that has to do with the understanding now that we have that the genetics is sort of like a loaded gun, right?
Yes.
But you need to have the lifestyle to pull the trigger. And moreover, we understand now that these genes, they sort of have, in layman's terms, shall we say, an off and on switch. And that off and on switch has to do again with our lifestyle. So you can turn on a protective gene for instance, with exercise or with a simple diet, or you can turn on the oncogene, the gene that is responsible for, let's say, for prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. And there are usually many, many, many genes, but some of the genes might be turned on by a diet that's high in calcium and dairy when it comes to prostate cancer. So we're now beginning to look at this a little bit differently. When we talk about genetics, we also now talk about epigenetics, epi sitting on top of the genetic code. Mm-hmm. And that is like sort of a, well, like a rider, a jockey that is sitting on top of a horse. The horse responds to what the jockey does. The jockey determines the speed of the horse, the direction of the horse. He rules that horse pretty much. And I think, fortunately, perhaps for all of us, is that for most of what we've considering to be a genetically related chronic disease, like high blood pressure and overweight and diabetes and so on, many of these diseases are actually modifiable by our lifestyle, which is then the jockey that directs the horse.
Now, you mentioned exercise in there because that is another myth that we want to talk about today. We have said that, okay, genetics can play a minor role, but of course you have that overarching jockey up there of epigenetics. Let's talk about exercise, Dr. Deal. Another myth is that if you're overweight, you need to exercise more. Would that be on the right track to say that?
Well, you know, there's a lot of truth on both sides of that argument. You know, obviously, as we are becoming more and more sedentary, we're burning fewer calories. Mm-hmm. And so these calories begin to accumulate, usually in the central bank of our bodies, usually around the midsection.
Yes.
And then as these overflow, they develop sort of branch offices on our upper arms and our, you know, body all over the place. And then we can be very concerned, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, there is some truth, obviously, to that. But the idea that you can handle overweight by burning off more calories is a very difficult proposition. I mean, let me tell you a little story. Maybe that would probably illustrate that quite nicely. I had these two ladies, elderly ladies, lovely ladies, and they came to me. They wanted to lose some weight, and I talked to them. I talked to them about some, making some dietary adjustments. And, you know, I said, and, you know, to boot, have a nice walk every day. So after about 5 weeks, they come to me and they said, sir, your program is not working. I said, really? I said, I have 50,000 CHIP graduates, you know, in many parts of the world, and it seems to be working magically. Why is it not working with you? They looked at me kind of puzzled, and I said, can you tell me something? Tell me, what about your exercise program? What do you do? Oh, they said, we walk every morning from the hospital medical center to the Stater Brothers supermarket, and that's 1.25 miles. Sir, every day we both do this. We meet at the hospital, we walk 1.25 miles, and then we go back 1.25 miles. So we walk 2.5 miles. Isn't that pretty good for two mature ladies? Well, you know, I complimented them and I said, yeah, you're doing very, very well. But then I had a little suspicion and I said, tell me, when you walk from the hospital to Stater Brothers, you know, to this supermarket there, do you just turn around there, or do you sort of do you go inside?
I know where this is going.
I said, oh no, we go inside. And I said, you just sort of look around because you forgot your checkbook. Oh no, they said, you know, I mean, we have just been so good. We walked 1.25 miles, and for elderly ladies, that's a pretty good accomplishment, isn't it? I said, oh yes, it is. And so we feel entitled. We reward ourselves there. And I said, tell me, what do? You buy some peaches and some? No. They said, we get our Krispy Kreme, you know, once a day, sir.
Boy, there you go. There you
and
go.
I look at these two ladies, and you know, I had a difficult time, you know, really telling them. I said, you know, a Krispy Kreme is something like 400 plus calories, 400 calories. Now, when you walk 1.25 times 2 back and forth, that's 2.5 miles. You burn about 250, maybe at the very most 300 calories. So if you burn 300 calories for exercise, but you have just eaten 400 calories, that means you have gained 100 calories as you walk every day, right?
Now, there's a strange walking program. You gain calories. There you go.
And they looked at me kind of sheepishly, and then one lady had sort of a downcast eye, and the other one said, oh, but doctor, it's worth it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, but it really isn't worth it, you know, in terms of calories, you know. And that's then the situation that we have. We need to be recognizing that it is much, much easier if you want to lose weight, begin to look for those energy dense, those calorie dense foods, you know, like the candy bars and the donuts and, you know, things that come in small packages, but they're charged up with calories because they're high in fat and sugar. Anytime you have fat and sugar, you're in trouble. But if you, for instance, would have chosen a peach, or you would have had maybe a couple of plums that are all in season right now, you know, or you might have had even a mango, you know, there you have a lot of water, which dilutes the caloric density, and you could have enjoyed that, and you would have rewarded yourself, yet without the troubled extra 100 calories in this example, right?
So what are we talking about is the peach and the mango? How many calories are we talking about to eating a mango or eating a peach or enjoying an apple? What's the approximation there?
It's around 100 calories or less.
Okay, so they would still be on the 200-plus side here. They would do the same walk, have a peach, have an apple, and they'd come back having burned apples, plus getting the energy from the fruit.
Yeah, and it's something sweet and nice, and you know, and it quenches the thirst that you build up as you exercise. You know, so I mean, but we sort of think of emotionally pacifying foods, like something that is gooey, you know, ice cream and, you know, it's glazed and, you know, this kind of stuff. And it comes in little packages. You just have to unwrap it. And there it is, right? The Milky Way or whatever you want to call it, right? It's out there. We need to think differently. We need to have a different concept. And the same thing is true for, I think, for exercise. Exercise doesn't mean you have to be a marathon runner. Exercise is a wonderful thing. As a matter of fact, you know, I think that if we could package all the benefits of a regular fitness program, you know, a fitness program where you utilize your muscles, you utilize your functional improvement. If you would package all of the benefits of a good fitness program, a good exercise program, a walking program, if you put them all together into a pill, you would be a billionaire.
I guess so.
You know, why?
Tell me why.
Because that pill has to be taken every day. An exercise is no good if you do it once a week. You need to do it every day. You know, I can tell you that I'm a classic example of proving that because when I travel, especially abroad, and, you know, I coming back, I have 16-hour time jet lag. You know, for the next 3 for 5 days, I don't do anything because I'm just trying to readjust. Instead of getting into a walking program the next morning, I kind of sort of find myself, and I have noticed that I have to be much more disciplined in finding a way to get into the walking program the next day, even though my clock is all out of whack. You know, but because when I then finally get around to it after a week or so or 10 days, I noticed, I mean, I lost all the benefits that I had because they could tell you that within 48 hours, you have basically significantly lost the benefits that you had had. So it's something we have to do every day.
And when it's something you have to do every day, I think it's important that we make the point here, Dr. Deal, that it needs to be something you enjoy, because if you have to do it every day, if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to do it every day.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, one of the best things to do is have sort of a social component, like these two ladies. That was a clever idea to have a partner. So you have an accountability structure. I have a German friend here in the university town, and he usually calls me at 6:45, or I call him, and at 7 o'clock, when I'm in town, we are in the gym. We are at Dresden Center. And for an hour, half an hour, we are on the treadmills. And the other half an hour, we do some exercises that have to do, you know, with strength training and flexibility training, which is becoming very, very important for people over 50 years of age. So, you know, that we need to find something that is giving us enjoyment, that is holding us accountable, that's giving us a gentle reminder. And so, you know, we are stepping up to the treadmill and we have some good conversations and, you know, we feel we're not the only ones suffering. We're doing it together.
Well, very good. Well, Dr. Deal, we'll take a short break here. When we come back, let's find some more of these proven results and priceless benefits of following an exercise program and a good eating program. It's really worth the effort. So stay tuned. Ready to improve your overall health? Diet and exercise are vital, but so is another lifestyle adjustment, attitude. Keeping a daily gratitude journal for just 2 to 3 weeks has been shown to improve mental health and general well-being in organ transplant recipients. Recording thankful thoughts also increases energy, enthusiasm, and attentiveness in healthy people too. If you're a glass half-empty kind of person, you might want to start recording your blessings today.
Concerned about those extra pounds, high blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol, depression, and heart disease? I'm Dr. Hans Dior, inviting you to join the people in the know and enroll in the next CHIP program in your area. It can make all the difference.
For more information about the Complete Health Improvement Program and to transform CHIP's proven results into priceless benefits for you and your family, visit chiphealth.org. In a recent Liberty Magazine editorial, Lincoln Steed wrote, "Economic collapse always empowers prejudice against those of different ethnicity, religion, or politics than the majority. Here in the United States, religion and politics are both at a toxic level. We must be prepared and not surprised by such sudden changes. They have actually been a long time coming." For more insights, visit libertymagazine.org. Welcome back to the program. I'm Charles Mills here with Dr. Hans Diehl. He is a man on a mission, and that mission is to make us healthy. And that's what the CHIP program does, the Complete Health Improvement Program. They bring about those proven results and priceless benefits very much in the demand these days. And we're talking about exercise today. The way we are is not necessarily genetics. It probably isn't. The way we are is not necessarily what we're eating, unless we are eating something that our exercise doesn't overcome. We need to be exercising a little bit more than we are eating so we can have some weight loss going on there. And Dr. Diehl, just how does exercise help us? And you talk about we drop some pounds if we make sure our diet is in line too. What else does exercise do for us?
Well, I think exercise has been shown in large studies that it promotes a longer life. A longer lifespan is directly related to a regular active program of being fit.
And of course, that's what we want to be. There's a difference between, well, no, let me back up and ask it this way. Is there a difference between being fit and being healthy? Can you be healthy without being fit? Can you be fit without being healthy?
Yeah, I guess you could. If you express and define fitness as physical fitness, being functionally very, very well equipped, you can bend down, you can run, you can do all these kind of things. You still can have your arteries resting out if you have a wrong diet, right? Yes. I mean, if you have a typical American diet, you have to do both. So it's a combination of fitness has to do with muscular bone fitness. And it should also include, of course, very prominent nutritional dietary program.
There was an advertisement recently for an underwear maker, and I saw it in a magazine, and it was saying the new normal. And it had some slightly overweight women modeling the wearers there. And I thought, well, okay, there's a problem here, because what we can't see, we can see that they're overweight, but there's other problems we can't see inside these women, that atherosclerosis can be building, the hypertension, the high blood pressure, the diabetes can be building. So we need to not just depend on what we're seeing. We need to see and imagine what's going on inside the person. Am I on the right track?
Oh, you're absolutely right. And that's where exercise really comes in. Yeah. Exercise strengthens the heart. You know,
yes.
It helps in lowering the blood pressure. It burns high blood sugar levels, so it helps with diabetes. It strengthens our bones. You know, osteoporosis is sort of something that we're all concerned about in this country.
Absolutely.
Here.
Yeah.
And, you know, many of us think that it's a lack of calcium. It really isn't. But it's the fact that we lose too much calcium, and the loss of calcium is in part related to the fact that we don't get enough exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, there's some other factors too that are diet related. But also, exercise has a wonderful effect in lifting depression. And especially if you do it outdoors, you get some, you pick up some sunshine. It buoys up the system. And as you get outdoors and you hit the sun, you know, that also then creates the vitamin D that is so important for our good health. So these are all part and parcel of that. When it comes to depression, we can also think in terms of anxiety and stress. Just think about this in our harried, pressured society.
Yeah.
You know, physical activity is proving to be an effective antidote. It relaxes us. You know, when you have put an hour in, like, you know, what I do in the morning, usually I come home, I feel much more relaxed and I have a clearer mind, and I can sit down and figure what are the objectives, what are my priorities for today. All of this is being enhanced by having a well-functioning circulatory system that brings adequate oxygenated blood to the brain, right?
Yeah.
And so, and when you exercise, you also drink more water, which is a very, very important component of good health, right? So, you know, there are all these kind of benefits, and, you know, I mean, one could speak for hours on the benefits. That's why I said to you, if we could package it as a pill, we would all be billionaires.
We need to start visualizing in our minds when we go to the gym, and we're standing there in front of those big mirrors that they have there. We need to start visualizing something beside mirrors. We need to visualize that there's a CAT scan up there. There's an MRI. There's an X-ray machine. Because what's happening inside of us is just as important as what's happening outside, sometimes even more so. What's happening in our arteries? What's happening in our brains and our bloodstreams? What's happening in our bones? We need to have those on the walls of gyms so we can really appreciate the work that we're doing. And also on the walls of our dens in our homes when we're up exercising. That will tell us the true story. Am I right, Dr. Deal?
Yeah, I think you're really right on there. As a matter of fact, I think that some people, especially middle-aged plus people, you know, in particular women, they're almost afraid of getting into the gym because of these mirrors.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And we should not really have these mirrors on the wall, because that's not where it's at. We should look more inside and see, look, I'm going to get these benefits, and I'm also going to be contouring my body as well in due time, right? But that takes a little bit more energy. It takes a bit more time. It also takes some dietary adjustments, right, as we talked about.
So it would be really nice if, when you're at the gym, you walk by someone and that person's been working hard and doing lifts and whatnot, and you look at them and you go, hey, nice arteries. Or if you say, hey, I love your bones, that would be a true picture of what's happening to that person. We need to encourage each other that way, Dr. Deal.
They will fall over.
Yeah, probably so.
What's wrong with you? But that's the point, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That is really the point. And, you know, the wonderful thing is that when it comes to exercise, to fitness, to activity, it's not something that you have to do as a master that is running half a marathon every 3 months, and you have to be training. That's great if you want to do that. But, you know, actually, these marathons may be very, very stressful on your body.
Yeah.
It might be much, much better if you would do every day some swimming or some bicycling or some gardening or maybe some yard work, or maybe, you know, play some golf without the cart, right?
That's right. Can you imagine? That's the old way of doing it. Oh, my goodness. They used to walk this. What a wonderful idea.
You know, you do those 18 holes and you leave the carts behind. That's a great way to go.
And you have
some fun, too, and you have the social aspects. You know, that's the whole thing. When it comes to, we have different kinds of goals. Some of the goals have to do with developing aerobic capacities.
Yes.
That means you're really using some guidelines like the FITS rule, F-I-T-S. And if you really want to have a strong heart, you want to move into aerobics. And that means you have a certain intensity. And intensity means Well, you know, it has to do with your age and your overall health condition. Yeah. There's a rule that says it's 220 minus your age. Let's say you're 40 years of age. It's 220 minus 40. That's 180. You multiply that by 85% times 0.85. What do you get? You get 180 times 0.85. You probably get about 160 beats a minute. So for a 40-year-old man, you should be, and you have no heart disease or anything like this that you know of, you probably should exercise at a level of 150 to 160. And you can basically take your pulse. Yeah. You know, you stop for a minute, feel your pulse. If it's 130, hey, you better speed up a little bit. If it's 180, hey, you're doing too much. Just slow down a little bit. So that is your governor then, right?
Yeah, yeah. And if you have no pulse, exercise is not your problem.
No. If you have no pulse.
Yeah, you have a bigger problem than exercise.
You better call 911. Yeah, so I mean, that's the intensity. Now, if you have heart disease, then your physician will tell you at what intensity level you should be walking or swimming or exercising. But then you also have to have the time. People say, well, how long should I do this? Well, let's say you have, you're 40 years of age and your heart rate is about 155. Well, continue that for about 15, 20 minutes. Yeah. Then you're getting maximum benefit to the circulatory system, right?
Yes.
So you do intensity, that's I, you do T, which is duration or time, and then you have the S, you do it with someone, you have a social component there, so, you know, you feel accountable to someone. But then there's also the F, FITS, F-I-T-S. F stands for frequency. How many times should I do this a week? And, you know, the new guidelines are now suggesting every other day, three times a week. So three times a week. Intensity at a level that's appropriate for your age and your health condition. And if you're over 50, 60, you might want to talk to your physician. They could do a treadmill test and they can tell you exactly what the proper intensity level is at which you should be exercising. And then, you know, find someone that can do it with you, and you cannot find anybody. You know, get your dog and your dog will walk you.
That's really. Absolutely. If your dog likes Ryan,
right?
yes, it will definitely walk you, yes.
And they wait for you every day.
Oh, my. Now, Dr. Deal, we just have a couple minutes left here. You have a 10-step exercise program. Tell us about this. This is important. 10-step exercise program.
Oh, yeah. That's the magic.
Yeah.
You know, if you follow the 10-step program, you'll be a successful exerciser.
Yes, yes.
The most important thing is, you know, get some good walking shoes on, be comfortable, and then step outside of your door frame, and you make your first 10 steps, and you're on your way.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a 10-step program. First 10 steps. First 10 steps.
Getting those 10 steps out of the way is important.
That's
the
right.
Rest of it comes easy.
That's
all right. Very good.
Because that's important. And then the other thing, of course, is we really want to also encourage people to get into a strength and flexibility training program for 30 minutes, three times a week. That's where the gyms could come in, or they have these rubber bands that you can use, you know, and stretch, do extra stretching exercises. Yeah. Or just get out there and, you know, do some yard work where you do some bending and you rotate your body and so on, you know, move it around. You know, this is usually building our flexibility, and that becomes very important for people over 55, 60 years of age.
Play with the kids, mow the lawn with a push mower.
There you go.
There's all kinds of things you can do here.
That's right.
Well, Dr. Deal, you have given us some great advice today on our program about how we can find that fountain of youth that everybody wishes they had. Information like this is also available in your book, Health Power, and that's available, of course, on www.chiphealth.org. Check it out. You can also discover if a program, a CHIP program, is coming to your area. That's all at www.chiphealth.org. Lots of resources there, books, cookbooks, it's all there. I recommend that you give that a visit, chiphealth.org. Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Hans Deal, inviting you to begin enjoying health by choice, not by chance. Goodbye, everyone.